So that's nice and sweet, I think, of a way to kind of ease things in, welcome in the night, and at the same time be like, okay, enough of some old songs and time to get some talking done. Anyway, for those of you listening in, this is Eclectic Shock. I am DJ Dree, aka Addy, Addy is short for Adrian Michelle, but it's kind of lengthy to remember, so I just tell everyone to call me Addy. But anyway, that was Billy Joel, the song Piano Man. All right, so we've kind of heard a lot about, of course, the fact that there is, what's the best way to put this? I guess there's the Ebola virus that everyone's been talking about, particularly the fact that a young boy was, infected and was the first victim, Emil. He was 2 years old when he was infected, and then he died of Ebola in December 2013. And he lived in a remote village in Guinea. And that's kind of where the first case, I guess, was recorded. There might have been previous cases, but for sure this was the first recorded case of someone contracting Ebola. So, I think. So, I feel like someone's interjecting. Hi.
Hi.
Can I join you? Yeah. That'd be great. Hold on. I hope this works.
All right.
Yay.
Can I? I can't hear myself. Oh, this thing's not working.
I don't think it's on.
Oh, great.
Because it's dumb.
Maybe if I turn some buttons, press that. No. Okay, I'm just going to assume
everybody can hear me.
Side note, it's not Ebola, but if you're an adult and you have children and you haven't vaccinated your kids, punch yourself in the face.
There we go.
So I don't have to track you down and do it myself. Though I will, because congratulations, United States. We now have over 100 confirmed cases of measles.
Yep.
Measles. What century is this? This is definitely not the 2000s. Measles should not exist. I should not be here talking about a measles outbreak in the United States. I mean, Ebola, yes, there's no controls for that. We don't have an Ebola vaccination.
Yep.
But measles is 100% preventable.
Vaccines.
100 cases. Just because these people are anti-vaxxers. And the funny thing is you can go back to the 1940s and they had the same argument about smallpox. Like, oh, we don't need to vaccinate against smallpox because the vaccines are doing more damage than good. Here we are. 80 years later, and smallpox is a thing of the past. And hopefully we'll stay that way.
Mm-hmm.
Measles, we thought was a thing of the past.
And then somehow it's...
It's back. Mm-hmm. A combination of bad parenting and Disneyland, which I guess kind of ties in with bad parenting for a lot of parents.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I think that's the same.
Yeah, I read that news article. I haven't been reading much science lately. I mean, I've been absolutely busy. New babies due in, what is today, third? Second?
Today is the third.
The third? Okay, new baby's due in 11 days. It's getting really close here. Guess what this baby's getting? Tons of vaccines. Vaccines for everything. Yeah, I was blown away. I didn't realize there were vaccines for chicken pox. Like, chicken pox were just something you had to get when I was a kid. And presumably the rest of human history before that. But then they were like, oh yeah, we vaccinated a kid against chicken pox. I was like, whoa. That's incredible, because not only does that vaccinate you against chicken pox, but then you don't get shingles, and shingles is scary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not deadly by any stretch of the imagination.
It's not, but
imagine being laid up on a couch, unable to move for like a week and a half. I knew a girl who got shingles down her side, and she literally couldn't put her arms down. She had to sleep on the couch with her arms on the back of the couch for like a week. So her arms didn't like lower down and push against her sides, which these kids aren't going to have to deal with that. And I'm happy for them. I really, it's not a character building thing. It's not like, oh, the back of the day, we got chicken pox and we were better for it. No, you're not better for getting a disease. So preventing a disease is, that should be priority number one. If you were a parent, the well-being of your child is the first and foremost thing that should come to the front of your mind. And by not vaccinating it, you're putting your child in harm's way.
That's true.
And there's some pretty pictures of Titan. I saw that too.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Of all things.
Yeah, no. I mean, I always keep up with the astronomy thing. Did you see the blow-up picture of the Andromeda Galaxy?
Yes.
They actually took that high res. It was a 4.2 gigabyte image of a small section of that galaxy. And it just shows you in contrast, like, you're used to seeing a big bright blur with a couple like points of light, which are the really big stars.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that entire glowy haze is just like... billions upon billions of stars. And and to think that that galaxy right now is hurtling at us and will eventually hit ours. And I'm sad. I'm sad I won't be around to see it. Like, I will, it will happen in a few million years, and I will probably be dead.
A few million years.
Yeah, I will probably be dead at that point. That's one of the things. It's like, I don't get upset about dying. It's like everyone dies. The thing that I get upset about is I will miss the future of science. I will miss discoveries. I will miss things happening. I will miss technologies.
You can see.
I'm not saying this isn't a great time to be alive, because just the advancements we've made in 100 years, like humanity was created, and then there was a quick jump when we discovered how to farm land, and that's when we changed from hunters gatherers to cultivators of the land, and that's when we were able to settle and create actual villages. Before, it was like dudes with teepees running around the land, and we literally were following the animals around. We'd kill the animals wherever they happened to be, and the animals were migrating because they would go wherever the food was. So cultivating the land, that was our first huge step. And then our next huge step was presumably working with metal.
Oh, metals.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So that was agriculture was step one.
Okay. Yeah.
Metalworking step two. Yeah, and then step three has been like the 1800s through today. I mean, in a span of 200 years. Now, when we talk about the agricultural age, we are talking about a span of like 5 to 10,000 years that humans developed this ability to farm land efficiently. When we're talking about the metal age, we're talking again on the order of 1,000 years in order for men to figure out how to find metal, how to melt it, how to perfect it, and how to do things with it. When we talk about the Industrial Revolution and the Scientific Revolution, we're talking 200 years. 200 years, and we have banged out more work than the entire civilization has up until this point, over tens of 100,000 years, or you know, whatever you want to say the beginning of civilization. It wasn't 100,000, but but it's been a while.
It's a long time.
It's been a long while. Yeah. So I mean, before the 1800s, we may as well have been like cavemen drawing on the walls, because that's the disparity that we have put between nowadays and 200 years ago. So great time to be alive. It's awesome to see science developing this quickly. Even now, with like, it's a perceived slowdown. Like, you just, it's not like the 1940s when scientific discoveries were coming
here
out
here and there and everywhere. Yeah. It just was.
But the discoveries are still being made. They're just so advanced that, you know, Bob on the corner isn't going to know anything about it.
Exactly.
I mean, I consider myself a science aficionado, and there's a lot of discoveries that are made that I'm like, well, it sounds cool.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I guess it's awesome. Is it going to get me a hoverboard soon? Yes, great. Yeah, another big scientific story to come through. Room temperature superconductor has been created. It only lasted for a nanosecond. And that's the caveat. It should say, there was a news article that was like, room temperature superconductor created. What it should have read was room temperature superconductor briefly created. Very
nanosecond.
But a nanosecond, and that's huge, because I will tell you now, as a listener, if you're like, what's a superconductor? You don't even really need to know what it is. Just know this. The moment they create a viable room temperature superconductor, our lives will change. Will completely change 100%. It is going to be just that. It will be the gasoline of our generation if we ever see that happen. It will just change the way that everything works. And literally, what it is it's the ability to pass electricity through a material with zero resistance. Anytime you pass electricity through something, there's going to be
some kind of resistance, some kind of...
Yeah, it takes a little bit of push. And, you know, that's why we got incandescent light bulbs, because that resistance turned energy into heat and light. But the fact that you can pass electricity through something leads to a lot of really cool things. You can transfer energy for no cost. That's mind-blowing. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Also, you can create magnetic fields for theoretically no cost. Mm-hmm. And that's huge. Like, you want to talk hoverboards? Room temperature superconductor, we immediately have hoverboards. Like, the next day, someone will be like, well, let's strap a bunch of these room temperature superconductors to a board and, you know, pipe some electricity through it. And it will create an electromagnetic field so strong out of so little energy that it will actually magnetize the ground beneath it and cause the ground to develop a magnetic field, which it will levitate against any material. It doesn't matter if it's magnetic or not. I don't know if you've seen this Hondo hoverboard that they had, but, you know, it's a magnet, and it has to be on a magnetic surface in order for it to work, which is cool.
You're right. I shouldn't say... because it is cool. It just, at the same time, it isn't versatile enough.
Absolutely. So if you out there and you're like, I wonder what do I want to see happen in my lifetime? I mean, people living on Mars, yeah, that would be cool. But if you really want to see something amazing, room temperature superconductors are what to watch out for. If you ever see news on that, be like, oh, that's that stuff Kraft said was really awesome. And yes, it is really awesome.
It is.
If I could pick one technology to see create, like if I had my genie in the lamp and he's like, what is your wish? World peace? No. Room temperature superconductors. Could give a damn about world peace. What I really want's a hoverboard.
Actually, since you kind of cut into the Ebola thing, I was about to go. Actually, after Ebola, I was going to talk about the vaccination, but you guys
straight into it. No, I just wanted to make sure we got to that.
No, it's fine. But speaking of which, what do you know about Ebola?
It sucks. I know how about it's transmitted. I don't know its exact response on the body. What are you driving at here?
Well, essentially what it is you're literally bleeding to death.
From the inside?
Yes.
Like every pore, vacuole, every artery, every vein ruptures and you bleed.
Mm-hmm.
If I recall correctly.
Yeah. So they're basically saying around 2 days to 21 days, so 3 weeks or so, you have this really long lasting fever, but because of that long lasting fever, your body's basically killing itself from obviously the inside.
Do you bleed out your eyeballs? Because I've always seen movies and that's always a bad sign. Like bleeding out your eyeballs, there's usually no recovery from that.
I don't know if you bleed out your eyeballs. I only know you just have internal bleeding.
Yeah.
That's just the best way to put it. I mean, you get the fever, you get headaches, you get muscle pains, and then you're just internally bleeding of uncontrollable speeds.
So it's like a deadly hangover.
That's one way to put it, I guess. That's one way to put it.
Because those descriptors, I'm like, yeah, I've had days like that, except I didn't die at the end. Just felt like I was going to. If there's a plus side to take from all this, there's a couple pluses. Number one, vaccination has gone into human trials and is looking very successful. Number two, apparently some of these Ebola cases are becoming less deadly, which kind of, it looks like the virus might be mutating and becoming a more hospitable thing. Because a virus that kills you is not a successful virus. That's not what a virus needs to do.
A virus wants to maintain its host for as long as possible.
Yeah, and the moment it kills you, I mean, it's done. That's a dead end for that virus. The only thing it can do is hope to, infect people around it, which unfortunately, Ebola does really well, but a really successful virus is like the flu. Why does the flu come back every year? Because it's damn successful. Not only are you super contagious, but you don't die. So you can get the flu multiple times, which is great for the flu.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it's so great for the flu that these viruses have inhabited our body so much that a lot of our DNA actually has virus material incorporated into it.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't have headphones. I don't know how this is going to... Oh, no. You do your thing. That's fine.
Oh, okay. I was going to be like, okay, we could do that.
You take this call, and we'll see what happens. Maybe I'll figure out how to get this working. Yeah, it's on.
Let's see. Can we hear you?
I heard you all were talking about diseases.
Oh, there we go. Can you hear anything?
It's Rich.
Oh, I got it. What's up,
oh
Mr. Bergen?
Speaking of the flu, actually.
Yeah, I heard it. Shut up. It's nice. So I just woke up from a nap and I'm like, I know the show. I know those voices. And they're talking about illness. This would be a good time to call in and say hi.
Hello, Rich.
So as I was saying, these viruses have infested humans. And viruses are very good at one thing. They're very good at rewriting your own DNA to do things to its own liking. So it actually reprograms cells in order to get it to create more viruses. But as a side effect, sometimes it rewrites code in our cells, and that code just kind of sticks around and propagates.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they're estimating that a good half of your DNA has been rewritten by a virus at some point in human history. Because
I feel like it right now.
Yeah. Let's say, I mean, you have 23 pairs of chromosomes. You have 46 chromosomes. Why I know that off the top of my head, I'm not 100% sure. But each one of those has just like a ridiculous amount of combinations of protein bases, ACGB. And, you know, every time you get a virus, there's a chance that one of those might get mixed up. And, you know, 99% of the time, it's not going to do anything because a surprisingly small amount of your DNA actually does anything. Most of it's just crap. And it works out for us because when the virus rewrites stuff, you know, they might end up rewriting something, but, you know, there's a really good chance it's crap anyways. But if you span this over the entirety of human history, viruses might have rewritten quite a bit of our DNA. So we might have a lot of that incorporated into what our being is. So, you know, and you can't tell just how much they've contributed. Yeah, they've made changes. And I'm sure there's some changes to active DNA that have stuck. So, in essence, you might be able to argue that viruses have helped human evolution. So, Rich Bergen, I feel sorry for you that you're sick right now, but this virus might be aiding human evolution.
You know, human evolution could suck one. I feel like crap, and this sucks.
Yeah, well, you have like you have a combo. You have a 1-2. You have like the flu and a respiratory virus.
Yeah, I kind of got screwed on this. I got the double whammy here, so.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to say hi. I'll talk to you guys again during VGS time.
All right.
It's all good. Go take a nap.
All right. Sleep and if anybody's listening, I will be in the Minecraft server in a few minutes. So.
Awesome. I'll be on there. Too. I'm going to let Eddie get back our show as I just, like, took it over for a minute. It's like, hold on.
Have a good show.
I need to complain about stuff.
It's okay.
It's good. It's good to hear. Set up a side set. See you guys.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye.
I feel like we should record this 10-minute segment and just put it out. Be like, there's an episode, bitches. I've gotten a few emails going like, what's happening? We shut up at science time. And I was like, well, you know.
You know.
I'm busy.
Busy. Yeah. We can't have a science, you know, it's hard to just do a science show by yourself. I've now understand why need that desire for a co-host.
Even Patrick was like, I tried to talk about technology and made it for a while and was like, nope. It takes a little bit of effort to get that kind of news together, or at the very least, like, you have to keep your nose to it over the course of a week to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I mean, I do like half of a show with science and the other half is just music or talk or something, because it's hard for me to just stick to science the entire hour.
It is, especially by yourself, because it's one thing to talk about science with someone and like
it is.
And the bad part about it is, and I found out the first time I did the science show, is I love talking science with people, but it's because people think of questions that I don't think of. Like, and it's not because they're like rudimentary or anything, but it's questions from people that don't have an understanding, and they bring something that I wouldn't have even thought to ask.
Mm-hmm. That's true, though. They do, which is why discussions are always a good way to learn.
Yeah, because the first time I did the show solo, it's like I talked about everything I knew about a subject and was like, so,
that's
about all I have to say about that. I'm gonna gump it up here, kind of peace out on this, unless somebody called. Nope, no questions. All right,
I guess not. We're done. No.
And the funny thing is the next day, like, people listen to the show and they start messaging me questions, and it's like, where were you last night, a-hole? I really could have used this question to help. Help this stretch this topic helped, more than 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Actually, yeah. I asked about Ebola because they're doing some research and they kind of found out that one of the possible primary sources, at least in Western Africa and Guinea at least,
was the kid.
Well, yes, it was the kid.
Yeah.
He was the first victim. But where did he contract it from? There's a high chance that there's this insect, of course, that already has the Ebola virus, or at least something similar to that.
Yes.
But they actually got first infected by the fruit bats.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, as a result, the people of that tribe, the village, are consuming those animals.
The lesson here is don't eat rodents.
Don't eat rodents.
Because that's all bats are. They're flying rodents. And, you know, mm-hmm. The Black Plague spread by rats. And it's like anytime there's a rodent involved, you know, just kind of stay away from it. If you're going to eat something, make sure it weighs at least like 2 pounds.
Yeah.
A 2 pound weight limit. And I don't know. What's that giant rodent? The capybara?
Yeah.
Something like that. Maybe I'll give a pass. No, don't eat that. I mean, you're still. If you're thinking about eating something, question number one is going to be, is it poisonous? No. Is it a rodent? No. Okay. Give it a shot.
Maybe. Even then.
Yeah, even then. It's kind of questionable.
It's kind of like, should I take my chances? Is beef and pork and chicken going to be infected one day?
I saw the wildest thing. Speaking of like eating random stuff, you've heard of the Asian carp? Have you heard? I guess I should phrase it.
What?
Have you heard of the Asian carp? It's this highly invasive species that's been making its way up rivers and streams, and they're kind of freaked out about it infesting Lake Michigan because it's a giant fish.
Michigan, out of all places.
It's super aggressive. It's super bony, so it's really hard to process. And the thing is freaking crazy because the vibration of boat propellers makes this thing go nuts. And they start flying out of the water at you. Like, literally, if you watch a video of somebody boating in a stream or river with Asian carp, with an Asian carp infestation, they have to carry nets. And these carps are throwing themselves at the people. Like, literally, they're going berserk.
Do they have, like, teeth like piranha? Or
no,
what?
No, not at all.
Are they just, like, flying?
They're, like, kamikazing themselves just out of the water. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I don't get.
They must be irritated by those sounds, then.
But what are they to gain? I don't know. Like, at what possible outcome could throwing yourself out of the water? Like, if you heard a rumbling in a giant body of water that you couldn't see, would your first instinct be to dive into it? I would get the hell away from it. It's like, oh, here's a dark thing of water that I can't see in, and I hear a rumbling.
Maybe they're majorly aggressive, and they're just like,
I think they're majorly stupid. Oh, but that's not an attack. Okay. To mindlessly toss your body at something is hardly an attack. That's like if I saw an elephant and I ran headfirst into it. But that's not even the best of it. That's running headfirst through a dark curtain, not knowing what's on the other side. Being like, oh, I bet my head stops whatever this is that I can't see that's, you know, creating an insane amount of noise. Like, this is the world's dumbest fish.
Really?
And that's saying a lot because there are some dumb fish out there. I mean, fish for the most part. Fish are so dumb that Catholics don't even consider them meat.
Oh, my God. That's true. That's actually very true.
I mean, the smart
fish.
They
don't consider them meat.
The smart fish are mammals anyways. It's like, oh, dolphins are smart. Well, dolphins aren't fish.
Dolphins aren't fish. They're mammals.
Dolphins are mammals. Blue whales are mammals.
They're mammals.
Even the biggest fish is the whale shark, and they're pretty dumb. I mean, even sharks. I mean, sharks are probably the smartest thing. And, you know, the only thing they're good at is being a-holes. I know people like that in real life. And guess what? They're dumb.
They are dumb.
Oh, so I miss doing this show.
I know. I'm going to miss you, too.
Yeah.
Especially, you're going to be in hiatus, aren't you?
I'm going to be gone for a while.
After this week, or?
Yeah, after this week. This is my last week in the studio for a while. With the new kid coming with work, I got some events coming up. By the way, if you're living in the St. Louis area, you can go to mindfeststl.com. It's kind of like a continuing education thing, except it's always like kind of odd topics that you might not get in school. I'm teaching a class March 6th over telescopes and astronomy. So if you sign up, I think it's going to be like $20 or $25. I don't know, but we're actually going to go over different kinds of tools you can look at stars with, and it's kind of cool. It's a 2-part thing. The class is on a Wednesday, and when I say class, I mean a formal, an informal get together where I just talk about astronomy. Anyways, that's on a Wednesday, and then I'm actually going to detail some stuff that we'll be able to see in the sky on Friday. And then Friday night, the class will be meeting at the telescope open house at the McDonnell Douglas Planetarium at the St. Louis Science Center for a public telescope viewing hosted by the St. Louis Astronomical Society. So you come into the classroom. We teach about telescopes and binoculars. I teach you a little bit about what we're looking at. We're going to talk a little bit about globular clusters. We're going to talk a little bit about nebulas and how they're formed. We're going to talk a little bit about our own planets because we're going to have a great shot at Jupiter coming up. And then, you know, a couple days later, we'll actually get to go out. And weather permitting, hopefully everyone will actually get to look at these things.
Nice.
Be kind of fun. So,
that does sound fun. Kind of cool.
MindfestSTL.com is where
mine
to go.
Or mind?
Mind. Like mind.
Okay.
MindFestSTL.com. My wife's taking one tomorrow, actually, over the history of chocolate. And they're actually cooking chocolate, and it's at a St. Louis place. The following week, I'm going to a whiskey class where it's all like, it's the different kinds of whiskey, and we'll be tasting whiskeys and profiling them. They had a class on how to take selfies because, you know, everyone does it. Most people suck at it.
Why does such a class exist?
I don't know.
There shouldn't be one.
they did have, there's a class, it is a class coming up. I think it's not tomorrow, not next Wednesday, but the Wednesday after. Uh-huh. It's how to fact find on the internet. Like, if you get these retarded Facebook posts, which everybody does.
Okay.
Like, how to look it up. Like, if you're like, because at some point.
You get kind of. Like, is it like, for example, when you read something, you're like, is this really true or not? That kind of thing?
Absolutely. Okay. And you all know there's two types of people out there. There's the type of people that are just assume because it's on the internet, it's real. And you're related to these people. You know these people. And, you know, I hope you belong to the second group of people, the group of people like us that see something and you're like, where's the source on this? Like, right. You know,
is this credible of a source?
Or you can't just
Wikipedia.
Make this up. Yeah, absolutely. And even I consider Wikipedia a pretty decent source.
It is, but I only trust the sources at the bottom, like when they have those, not footnotes. Well, I guess they're footnotes, I guess. Yeah. I could trust those.
Or yeah, so, those, you know, but. if you link me Wikipedia, you know, I will put it at the maybe column. If you link me a scientific article on TMZ, no, there's there is zero credibility there, and shame on you for posting that, and you should have went and found out on your own. But anyways, they're teaching a class on how to find this stuff out on your own. And I was like, well, you know, good for them.
That's nice. That seems like a useful
While thing. I think I know enough to fact check my own stuff, you know, some people out there just don't. They don't know how to use the Googles. And honestly, using Google could be a class in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed there's always that interesting, you're trying to figure out, you have a question, and then what are the keywords or what are the words you should put in to type in the Google search?
What are the magic Google operators, how to effectively use quotation marks? Because 9 times out of 10, somebody will ask me something, and I will come back with an answer like in a minute. And they'll be like, how'd you figure that out? Well, you know,
the power of Google.
I Googled it because Google's amazing.
Yes. There needs to be more classes like that. How to use Google.
Yeah. Reminds me of a joke.
What joke?
It's the joke where Bill Gates is in the Microsoft board meeting and they're trying to figure out what the hell the problem with Bing is. And he's yelling at his developers. And one of the developers is like, the big part of the problem is that Bing is totally amplified. And he goes, what's amplified? Maybe I should Google it. Oh, I get what you're saying.
Such a bad joke.
Yeah, so much really like funny. Much like Kleenex is like the generic for tissue, like everyone says Kleenex, nobody says tissue. Google is the generic for web search, and we'll probably stay that way for a while.
Yeah.
Until some new amazing algorithm comes up, because right now as far as web searches, Bing is not great.
Not
okay. Unless you're searching for porn, then it's amazing for some weird reason.
Wow.
Yeah. If you take anything else from this episode, superconductors are amazing, and B, if you're on the lookout for porn, Bing is the best place to go to. Like,
maybe that's why the site's called Bing.
Like, yeah, screw Pornhub and all that. Like, Bing cross-references everything, and the big thing is it suggests stuff, too. It's like, oh, I see you like midget porn. Have you thought about midget porn involving horses? And you're like, damn, Bing, no, I haven't, but now I am. I need to check this out.
Thank you for my nightmares for the next week.
Oh, that's okay. You know you're going to be Googling it now. Albino midgets? Like, I didn't know that was a thing, but Bing. Now I need to see it.
I do think Bing, though, does really good suggestions out of all the Google searches.
Well, I mean, honestly, like, I know Google, Bing's there, Yahoo's laughable at this point, and then I know the web engines of yore are still there, but nobody uses them, like Ask Jeeves, Web Crawler, Alta Vista, I'm pretty sure you can still type in Alta Vista and get, I mean, the list goes on and on. Dogpile is still there. I mean, I'm harkening back to the late 1990s at this point. If you're scratching your head going, oh, this is when the internet was born. Like, this was after Gopher. Like, you know, the original people on the internet remember BBS boards and GopherNet and stuff like that. And then, you know, the first foray into actual internet, 99% of the people out there, if you were around at the time, was AOL. And then you use AOL to springboard onto, you know, Alta Vista. All Yahoo, all those things at the time. So, yeah. Learn how to Google stuff.
I just broke dying. I'm sorry. Now I can't look
Are
at
you posting
the
all this on
way.
Your personal page?
Huh?
Why aren't you posting it on the Science Time
page? I will
page?
Later. I'm just on this one right now.
Look
My
at that.
Laptop is
I'm gone for 3 weeks and she's already forsaken the show. She's like, I'm done.
No, John, if I had truly forsaken the show, we wouldn't be talking about science right now.
Oh. I just had to barge it again. I'd be like, that B word's not talking science. I got to go to UMSL right now. Start pounding on the window. Hey! Hey!
Hey, for the record. Talk for the science. Record. For the record. I was talking science last week, and Rich was there.
So. I totally believe you.
Yeah.
I was here for that part of it. I just wasn't here after my wife sliced her hand open. Yeah, how you cut your hand open quilting is just...
I was going to say, it's not knitting, it's quilting.
In my mind, there is hardly a difference. Anyways, did you have any more cool science stories?
I was going to, but I didn't look up enough into it, so I might just save it for next week.
Because, what was it?
Well, they're talking about how Stanford is looking into their... Actually, their experience... Blah, 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 blah. They are using monitors and sensors to see... how birds, I guess, use their wings in the most efficient way possible to create more efficient drone wings and airplane wings and stuff like that.
Actually, one of the most interesting wing structures, I mean, Stanford birds are a good thing to do, but dragonflies actually have cooler wing dynamics than even hummingbirds. If you ever have extra time, you can go onto YouTube and look up dragonfly wings, and there's like the slow motion videos are insane. Hummingbirds can fly up, down, back, forward, hover in place very effectively. Dragonflies can do all of that, and they can fly upside down. And that's nuts. The fact that it can fly upside down is actually kind of a huge feat, in the ornithoptery type of world.
What's this?
I am gesturing with my hands to the realm of science that is ornithology.
Huh.
There's another word of the day. I think that's right. Ornithology. Yeah, it's the study of birds. Or the study of flight, I guess, would be.
It's more of,
would be the,
The technical.
So, to take away from this show, superconductors are awesome, Bing for porn, and dragonflies have awesome wings.
Yes, they do. That's why I need to do some more research on that. I probably was thinking about moving that to next week's topic anyway.
You should.
So.
That'll give you a good starting off point.
It does. It would help a lot.
You should bring Rich in. Hopefully his voice is better and he can, he can be your person that asks you the weird questions that you would have never thought of.
Yeah, that'd be useful.
You could talk about flight feathers and why they're important. You could talk about the fact that their bones are hollow. I think that's pretty awesome. Pelvis turned around backwards. Like, birds are weird.
Yeah.
Birds are, There are people that are genuinely creeped out by birds. I'm not necessarily creeped out, but I could understand that because birds. Also, on the list of things not to eat, put birds in there, like little birds. Rodents, if flightless birds, I think are okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll even give a pass on ducks because who doesn't enjoy duck hunt? But yeah, don't eat hummingbirds. Definitely don't eat pigeons. Those are rodents in the sky.
I was going to say, that's what they are. That's not even funny.
Yeah, turkeys, chickens, ducks.
Penguins.
I don't eat penguins. I like penguins.
I just had to.
You're a horrible person. I quit your show.
Get out of here.
Somebody call in and tell Addie she's a terrible person for wanting to eat a penguin.
You were talking about flightless birds. Flightless birds! Anyway, there we go. So now he's out of the studio. That's interesting. Anyway. Just for a disclaimer, I really don't really want to eat penguins, but... Oh, man. We have way too much fun here in the studio. All right, guys. So, I forgot to introduce him. That's funny. He just kind of walked in, because this is his usual hour. But that was Nick Grafter from Shut Up, It's Science Time. I forgot he'd show up today, so he kind of just let me do my show for a little bit. But hey, look at that. I think most of the hour's gone. We're just talking about some interesting things. Don't forget the three things that Kraft mentioned about. I may not repeat all of them, but you know what? You'll have to do. All right, so thank you so much for listening in to Eclectic Shock. My name is Adrienne Michelle, a.k.a. Addie, also known as DJ Dree. I hope you all have a wonderful evening. Stay tuned, though, as there's going to be many more shows to come later on tonight. Not quite sure what the order is going to be, but I do know for sure video game show should be on and ready to go by 9 tonight. And so, fairly excited for that. And let's see. What's a good way to leave out today? I didn't play enough songs for my personal taste, and I keep thinking, should I play an amazing song, or should I play another amazing song? I think what I'm going to do this week is leave you all with a very classic, amazing song, in my honest opinion. And sometimes I think it's a good motto to live by, because, for example, I didn't expect Kraft to just walk in here and, you know, well, it was a great conversation. Don't get me wrong. But I just didn't expect him to show up. So, you know what? Let it be. And I guess that's the motto I think most people should go with. Or the life. Yeah. The way people should live life is just let it be. Definitely just let it be. Anyway, I'll leave you guys with that song and that note in mind. And I'll see you guys all next week here at the UMSL Radio station. You could tune in through the TuneIn app, through my Facebook page. You can check out Facebook Kitty Cat Addy, Addy with ADDY. Or you could check out Shut Up, It's Science Time. I'll be posting a lot of the science stuff on both my page and also that of the science show, because I have access to that page as well. But thank you so much for listening in. I hope you guys, again, have a wonderful evening. And I'll see you guys all next week, all right? See ya.